Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I'm Konstantinos, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining Eurobank Ergasias conference call to present and discuss the first quarter 2019 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Stavros Ioannou, Deputy CEO. Mr. Ioannou, you may now proceed.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Eurobank first quarter 2019 results presentation. After an overview of the highlights, our Chief Financial Officer, Haris Kokologiannis, will give you a more detailed presentation of our results, and finally, we will answer together your questions. Starting with the macroeconomic background, we see a stable environment with GDP growth at, or slightly better than last year's, 1.9%, based on stronger consumption and a stabilization year for tourism revenues and exports, despite weaker Eurozone activity. It is important to highlight, though, that the residential property market is recovering, as shown in the higher transactions volume and the first annual increase since 2009 of the residential properties index. In this environment, sentiment is stronger, deposit gathering continues, and loan demand, especially from business clients, is improving. Let me now update you on the progress of our transformational plan. The merger with Grivalia has been completed in line with the time schedule, and new shares commenced trading last week. On May 15th, we received binding offers for the 2 billion euro mortgage NPE securitization under the codename Pillar, and non-binding offers for the 7.5 billion euro multi-asset securitization under codename Cairo and our loan servicer FPS. We are pleased with the strong market participation as proved by the number of bidders, the quality of investor names, and the bids received. More specifically, six investor groups have expressed their interest in these transactions, with four of them submitting bids for all three transactions. Furthermore, DBRS announced provisional rating for the Pillar senior note, making it the first Greek NPE securitization transaction with a public rating. We are now proceeding in the next phase, and we expect binding offers for Cairo and FPS within July, and the selection of the preferred bidder for all three transactions. Overall, the transformation plan is executed on time, and after its completion at the end of 2019, Eurobank will have a significantly de-risked balance sheet with NPEs ratio of 16%. This will allow us to allocate more resources in order to focus on new business development in Greece and the region in a profitable but also in a sustainable way. Let me now focus on our financial results for the first quarter 2019, with highlights shown on slide 5 of our presentation. Our net profits in the first quarter 2019 reached 27 million euro. On a year-on-year basis, core pre-provision income was down 4.6%, driven by net interest income down by 3.4% year-on-year, while commissions increased by 2.7% year-on-year. Operating expenses were down 0.6% year-on-year, with Greece actually 2.1% lower. The provision charge was roughly stable year-on-year. On asset quality metrics, we had negative NPE formation of 115 million euro in the first quarter, with NPE ratio dropping to 36.7%, the lowest among local peers. Our fully loaded Basel III ratio remained at 13.4%, while our total capital ratio stands at 18.2%, which is the highest in the Greek market and supports the execution of our NPE acceleration plan. Deposits gathering continued with 340 million euro new deposits in the first quarter, while the loan-to-deposit ratio declined to 92%. As for international operations, we remain highly profitable across all countries, with profits up 7.6% year-on-year in the first quarter. We see strong loan demand in the region led by Bulgaria and Cyprus, and we actively pursue our strategy to strengthen our franchise in the countries of presence, and we expect the legal and operational merger with Piraeus Bank Bulgaria to be completed in the third quarter of 2019. Concluding, as our accelerated plan for the cleanup of our balance sheet is executed on a timely manner, the focus will gradually shift more and more towards the financing of the economy, the growth of our loan book, the business development across all areas which support fee and commission income, and certainly further cost containment. At this point, I would like to ask our CFO, Charis Kokologiannis, to present our results in detail before opening the Q&A session.
Thank you, Stavros. Let's now provide some more insight on the first quarter results. As regards the capital position on page eight, in the first quarter, the fully loaded CET1 ratio was flat at 13.4%, as the positive impact from the period's results and the AFS portfolio mark-to-market was offset mainly from the impact of IFRS 16. Total capital ratio amounted to 18.2%, which is almost 450 basis points higher than the overall capital requirement. Moving on to slide nine and on liquidity. As shown on the top left of the page, funding from ELA has been zeroed as of February 2019. Group deposits in the first quarter increased by 340 million euro, the major part coming from Greece, while the loans deposit ratio receded to 92%. Liquidity was further boosted by market repos and securitizations. Moving on page 12 and on lending growth, as shown at the right part of the page, in the last 12 months, performing loans increased by 1.1 billion euro. Specifically, international showed a growth of 600 million, mainly from Bulgaria and Cyprus, and business lending in Greece of 700 million euro, while household lending decreased by 200 million. On page 15, net interest income for the group decreased quarter on quarter by 10 million euro, mainly as a result of days effect, weaker recoveries activity in the first quarter, decrease of NPV unwinding, and some pressure on performing corporate books margins. These drivers were partly offset by higher net interest income from international operations, elimination of ELA, and income related with arrears interest on tax receivables award from the courts. On page 16, net commission income lagged behind the fourth quarter of 2018, which was very strong due to high syndicated loan commissions, underwriting fees, treasury sales, and the seasonality of credit cards acquiring fees. However, on a year-on-year basis, fee income increased by almost 3%, and for the rest of the year, such pace of growth is expected to accelerate, also considering Grivalia's contribution as of the second quarter. On page 17, operating expenses decreased on a yearly basis by 0.6% for the group and by 2.1% in Greece as a result of lower personnel costs. Further insight on pre-provision income and on page 6. On the top left of the page, core PPI decreased in the first quarter to 191 million euro due to weaker fees and net interest income, while pre-provision income amounted to 205 million euro, with other income stable quarter on quarter. Moving on asset quality and on page 7, as shown on the top left of the page, negative NPE formation amounted this quarter to 115 million euro. NPE stock decreased quarter on quarter by 151 million, driven by the negative formation and the sale of a 50 million euro corporate loan. As a result, the NPE ratio receded at the end of March to 36.7%. Cost of risk over net loans amounted in the first quarter to 1.8% and loan provisions to 165 million euro, which, in combination with the negative formation, increased coverage by 60 basis points to 53.8%. First quarter's performance, as well as the outlook of the second quarter, are aligned with our plan to decrease organically NPEs in 2019 by 1.1 billion euro, as shown on page 19. Together with the two securitizations, it is expected to drive NPEs lower by 10.1 billion euro until the end of the year, and the NPE ratio at 16%. This completes my presentation, and we may now open the floor for your questions.
The first question comes from the line of Solonitsyn Anastasia with UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the presentation. Just a couple of quick questions. Could you please explain what stands behind acceleration in the growth of redefaults this quarter? So even if we exclude seasonality impact, it's still 38% year-over-year. Second question, in terms of securitizations, given that you have now better understanding on pricing, I appreciate if you can share with us if you see any risk to your previous guidance on capital impact from the transactions and potentially on your cost of risk for the year. Thank you.
Sure. regarding, I will start from the second question, and then we may go to the first part of your question. Regarding securitizations, actually we have two securitizations in the pipeline. The one is Pillar, amounting to 2 billion euro mortgage securitization, and the second one is Cairo, with it is a 7.5 billion euro securitization, out of which 7 billion is NPEs across all segments. Now, specifically regarding impact, first of all, regarding Pillar, any impact is included to the cost of risk. As we have announced, cost of risk is expected to be at the area of 1.7% over net loans for 2019, and we reiterate this this outlook. Regarding Cairo, as we have said, any impact will be between 1.2 and 1.4 billion euro, and again we reiterate this outlook. Now, the final impact will, of course, depend on the tranching of the securitization. And regarding that, in March, we have submitted to SSM all required data, including an initial tranching. And since then, we have had a continuous dialogue with the regulator, and we expect to get the SSM preliminary assessment of tranching within June, I would say.
Thank you. And the first question on the default, please.
Yes. Now, on this occasion, let me provide you with a general outlook of our NP formation in the first quarter and outlook for the second quarter as well, in which I'm going also to answer your point, the answer of which is on page 20. NP formation in the first quarter of this year was negative by 115 million euro, which was relatively weak due to seasonal factors and more specifically related with sluggish corporate formation, as shown on the presentation on page 21, where we present the NP formation per segment. And following, of course, a very strong performance on the fourth quarter of 2018. Corporate inflows by 3-4 corporate names also affected NP inflows for the quarter of 346 million euro. And here, as I said, this is shown on the presentation on page 20. Now, going forward for the second quarter of 2019, we expect NP formation approximately negative NP formation approximately double than the first quarter of 2019, and in line with the second quarter of 2018, i.e. at the area of 190 to 200 million euro. Now, regarding the total stock of NPEs, in the second quarter of 2019, we expect a total NPE reduction of around 400 million euro. So overall, for the first half, we expect a decrease of approximately 600 million euro, which will be in line with the full year 2019 target.
Thank you. I appreciate your color on net outflows, but my question basically relates to gross inflows rather than net outflows. If you look at page 20, so this NP inflows of 346, if we compare it with 250 a year ago, I'm just surprised to see this spike and what stands behind this spike. Is it just a technical issue or a seasonality, like not seasonality, macro environment? So what are the drivers behind it?
As I said to my answer, probably I was not clear, regarding the inflows, this relates mainly to 3 to 4 corporate names that affected the total NP inflow. So out of these 346, approximately 70 to 80 concern 3 to 4 big corporate names.
Plus, let me tell you also that during this last month we had the new Caccelli law that was coming into the picture, and it seems that the people were waiting to see how this will actually influence their own positions. So we had a delay in responding to us.
Okay, thank you. That's clear.
The next question comes from the line of Bayraktaria Geligi with Autonomous Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for taking my questions and thank you for the presentation. First of all, we saw one of your peers in Greece who also uses internal models for the calculation of part of their credit RWAs are considering the move to the standardized approach. Is it something that you could consider? And also, if I may add, should we expect any capital headwinds this year with regards to the TRIM exercise by the ECB or other changes in your internal models that are related to policy changes or methodology changes this year? And a second question, we see that there is some pressure on the corporate margin. You mentioned that in your presentation. And we also see that all the Greek banks are now focusing on the revenue line, given that the NPE unwinding is eating on NII. Do you see a lot of competition both on new corporate disbursements and on fee generation? And does your 2019 outlook that you provided with Q4 results still stand, or should we expect a bit more, should we be a bit more cautious for this year in light of this competition? Thank you.
Thank you, Angeliki. And your question relate with capital on the first side and then on the revenue and profitability, where this gives me the opportunity to elaborate in quite detail. So let's start from the capital, whether we envisage to switch from IRB to standardized approach. The answer is no, we do not intend. A preliminary rough estimate of the benefit from implementing IRB versus standardized as of the 31st of March is approximately 3.5 billion RWAs that translate to an impact of approximately 115 to 120 basis points. And actually, we don't see any tangible advantage moving from IRB to standardized. Note that besides the impact on RWAs, the models developed for the IRB and validated and from SSM facilitates the dialogue with SSM for the securitizations and the SRT approval process, of course. Now, regarding TRIM and ELB and all of this, so far from 2000, starting from 2017 and until the end of 2018, we have booked approximately 2.5, 2.7 billion euro related to these reviews, and from now on, going forward, we don't expect any more material impact that will be a significant headwind on our capital. Now let's go to the profitability, and let me provide you a more general outlook regarding net interest income, but also fees and commissions and pre-provision and bottom line profitability for 2019. On a quarter-on-quarter basis, on NII, the first quarter was weaker by 10 million euro, mainly as a result of days effect, weaker recoveries activity in the first quarter versus the fourth, and some pressure on performing corporate books margin. These drivers were partly offset by higher net interest income from international operations and income related with arrears interest on tax receivable that it is awarded from the courts. For the full year 2019, and given the outlook that we have so far, we expect NII to be approximately 2% lower than the previous year, mainly as a result of lower interest from NPEs and moderately lower spreads on the performing corporate portfolio. Moving forward, growth of performing loans will abate the pressure from the cleanup of our balance sheet, but let me elaborate on this shortly. On fees and commissions, that it is another significant driver of our core income. In the first quarter, which traditionally shows some seasonal weakness, commissions income lagged behind the fourth quarter of 2018, which was very strong due to high syndicated loan commissions, underwriting fees, treasury sales, and the seasonality of credit cards acquiring fees. However, on a year-on-year basis, fee income is higher by almost 3%. For the rest of the year, it is expected the pace of increase to accelerate, also considering Grivalis contribution as of the second quarter and lending-related deals that are on the pipeline. Specifically for the second quarter, a reading higher than 80 million euro is expected based on the outlook so far. Overall for 2019, a double-digit growth versus the previous year, I would say is a realistic outlook. Now for operating expenses, that it is the third element of core PPI. We reiterate our guidance for a decrease of cost in Greece by 3% in 2019, mainly driven by lower staff costs. Given that, and generally we could say that given that the NPE reduction plan absorbs significant resources and management time in 2019, further rationalization on the operating cost will be reviewed, I would say, 2020 onwards. As a result of what I presented above, core PPI is expected to be roughly flat versus 2018. Furthermore, cost of risk, as I said at the beginning, will move slightly lower this year compared to 2018 at approximately 1.7%. That net profit before one-offs is expected to be, I would say, similar with the one of 2018. Allow me 1 minute to come back on the growth of performing book. As it is shown on page 12 on the right part of page 12 of our presentation. In 2018, performing loan balances increased by 700 million euro. In the last 12 months, the pace increased to 1.1 billion, while for this year, 2019, we expect the increase to accelerate and reach 1.4 billion. Analyzed as follows: 800 million coming from international, 900 million from the Greek business book, while Greek retail is expected to decrease by approximately 300 million, mainly related with the mortgage loans amortization. It is positive, however, to note that the mortgage loan market, which has remained very sluggish during the last years, is recently coming back. This is in line with the recovery of the residential property, as shown in the higher transactions volume and the first annual increase of the residential property index. Furthermore, let me point at the idiosyncratic element of Eurobank, that it is the importance of our international business, since it secures a diversified growth pace at healthy spreads, higher by approximately 130 basis points than Greek loan book and with very low NPE ratio. So it is expected that net interest income from international business to reach approximately 30% of group's NII in the coming years. So as a conclusion, I would say that overall, as our accelerated plan for the cleanup of our balance sheet is executed in a timely manner, the focus will gradually shift more and more towards the financing of the economy, the good business, the growth of our loan book, business development across all areas which support fee and commission income, and further cost containment. This effort is expected to be materially enhanced by the rapid improvement in local macroeconomic conditions as a result of the latest macro developments.
Thank you. If I may follow up on two things. First of all, on the guidance that you gave for the P&L on fees, I presume that this includes your expectation for Q2 above 80 million. I presume this includes the Grivalia consolidation effect.
Yes, it includes.
Okay. And on the securitization, correct me if I'm wrong, should we effectively, have you asked the ECB for the LGD waiver to be applied? Is there going to be, as a result of the securitization, the large one, the Cairo one, I presume it will not have an impact on your model because of the LGD waiver application, or will it have an impact on LGDs and PDs going forward?
This waiver has been approved from all European bodies of European Commission, and my understanding is that it is a European law. So I think it is a case closed.
Yes, but does it apply to the Cairo securitization, or it does not apply? It's not relevant for this.
It applies to the remaining NPEs of Eurobank.
Yeah, okay. Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Galvin Daisy with Tokyo Marina. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thanks for your presentation. I'm just wondering, you touched upon that you've received non-binding offers, and I was wondering if that represents 100% of the amount?
May you repeat your question, please?
No problem. You mentioned that you received non-binding offers for the Pillar and Cairo, and I was wondering if it represents 100% of the amount?
In the sense that we have presented, yes, it's 100% of the amount. For FPS, it's also 100% stake.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Boulouris Alexandros with Wood & Co. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Just a quick, because I think I didn't get it earlier in the call, regarding the capital loss of 1.2 to 1.4 billion. You said that you expect from the SSM the amount in June. Is that correct? And will you announce that within June if the SSM replies on the exact loss that you will need to take?
Yes, Alexander. Let me clarify. As I said, in March, we submitted to SSM all required data regarding Cairo securitization, including an initial tranching. And since then, we had a continuous dialogue with the regulator, and we expect to get the SSM's preliminary assessment regarding the suggested tranching within June.
Okay. Okay, so you will announce that if it comes in June on that day immediately, I guess, to the market. Or
we'll see on that. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Obis Gari with Penrith Holdings. Please go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen, or good evening, rather. Just wondering, where are you seeing the growth coming through in the Greek economy? And where do you expect, you know, or how do you expect the business side of things to develop with the loan book? Where is the growth coming from?
What is your question exactly?
Can you repeat your question because the line is not so clear, please?
Sorry, I'll try to repeat that. I just want you to understand, within the Greek economy, where are you seeing the growth coming from? And how strong do you expect the growth to be as you start to develop the loan book?
As I said, the main drivers from which we expect growth on our loan book, it is international business, which is outside of Greece, and also in the domestic corporate and SMEs. More specifically, as I said before, we expect an acceleration of loan balances, performing loan balances, increase by 1.4 billion euro, 800 of them coming from international, 900 from the Greek business book, and I would say this coming from across all industries, with of course some special emphasis on infrastructure, energy, and tourism. I would say more skewed towards the SME and the large corporate part of the corporate book. While Greek retail is expected to decrease by approximately 600 million, mainly related with mortgage loans amortization.
As I also said in my introductory remarks, we see a stabilization on GDP growth, and we expect this to be slightly better than last year's, which was, as you remember, 1.9%. And we expect a stronger consumption and also higher revenues from tourism and exports. And we foresee that despite the weaker eurozone activity.
Right, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Floriani Jonas with Axia Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. I have two questions. So going back to slide 20, again on the inflows, if you exclude that 7 to 18 million from the corporate cases, on the amount that is left, I mean, I was wondering if you could give us the breakdown in terms of segments of that inflow and the run rate expected for 2019. I mean, is it going to be around the 270 million to 50 million? So that would be interesting to know. And then second question is on the on the HFSF plan, if there's any latest discussion that you're hearing. I think that the initial expectation was for approval in June, then it moved to end of May. That's where we are now. So what have you been hearing on that one, and specifically if there's any latest comments on the cost of the guarantee? Thanks.
Let me start from the second part of your question. Actually, we understand on the so-called APS, we understand that there are ongoing discussions between the Greek government and the institutions, especially regarding the pricing of the guarantee. So we expect to see the outcome of these discussions and whether the pricing makes economic sense for the bank. Anyway, being proactive, I would say, we have proceeded already to the rating of pillar securitization from DBRS, getting a rating equal to the sovereign one. So from our part, I would say that we are ready to assess and accommodate if makes any economic rationale the APS scheme on our first securitization. Regarding your first question,
I'll give an explanation on the inflows and I'll give you the segmentation as well. I mean, the NPE formation in first Q of 2019 was negative, as you see, by 115 million, and also, as I said in my introductory remarks. And this was relatively weak due to, as we explained, both Harris and myself, to seasonal factors, and more specifically, as Harris mentioned, on sluggish corporate formation. This is also noticed on presentation page 22. We had also a very strong performance in 4Q 2018, which also plays a role. The corporate inflows was related to 3-4 corporate names that they have affected highly the NPE inflows for the quarter at the level of 346 million. And in second Q 2019, we expect the NPE formation approximately double than first Q 2019 and in line with the second Q 2018. So it's around 190 to 200 million. Now, if you want a more detailed segmentation on retail, in fourth Q 2018, we had 269 million and the first Q of 2019, we had 277, so there was a delta of 8 million. And on the corporate side, where was the main reason as well, as we said, was 3 in 4Q 2019 and 70 in 1Q 2019. So this was a delta of 67. All in all, there was a delta of 74 million euros.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Ioannou for any closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you all for your participation. We are looking forward to seeing you in our next roadshows or in Athens. Bye-bye.